I'm not ashamed of that. I'm a Skype for Business MVP, and I'm happy to talk here about hybrid voice. So Ståle talked a lot about all kinds of technologies that you can have either in the cloud or on-premises. I will focus on the hybrid solution, and that will cover two topics. One is the regular hybrid deployment that, like Ståle said, was already there for a while in Link 2013. And the new topic is the Cloud Connector Edition. And I've prepared a deployment guide for you. So I'm going to walk you through the deployment of the Cloud Connector Edition. So what's on the agenda? First, we will talk about hybrid features. So why do you want to use a hybrid setup instead of just an on-premises setup? Second, the main topic, enterprise voice in the cloud. Ståle talked about the features already. Actually, the same slide is also my slide deck, but I've hidden it for this session. And then we'll talk a bit more about the Cloud Connector, the overview, the deployments, the planning process for that. And then we will walk through the deployment procedure. And again, like Ståle told, some things can change. Some features are still in preview. And I've seen it a couple of times happening already when you create screenshots of the Office Admin Center on the evening before your session, that the next day things have changed. So that happens all the time. So, but yeah, that's how it is. So hybrid features. I think what's really interesting is that Microsoft has a lot of new technology available in the cloud in Office 365. Of course, a lot of companies are still running their Microsoft products on premises. And that's probably going to stay there for a while, maybe for a long time. The interesting thing, in my opinion, is that when you create a hybrid solution, you can stay on-premises with your users and your resources, but still use some really nice cloud features. Of course, there will be companies that are not allowed to connect to the cloud, but if you are, then things like Skype meeting broadcasts and other voice-related capabilities are available for you as well. Interesting solution. I think that if you are a consultant, like I am myself, that's really an interesting topic to focus on for the next few years, probably. Maybe I should tell a little bit more about myself. I'm a consultant and a trainer. I have a telephony background, so that's why I'm into Skype and Link. I do a lot of consulting that is related to the telephony side of things. I quite often run into Skype or Link deployments that's telephony. So I think the audio reconnected or something. Okay. I'm just going to continue. Yeah, so you see a lot of Skype for Business or Link deployments that did go up to conferencing, but did not ended up deploying the telephony side of things. It takes a little bit of specialty knowledge maybe, but maybe for those types of organizations, the cloud can also be an interesting solution. So Ståle talked about this already, I think, but the hybrid features. So here you see the features that you have, dial-in conferencing, enterprise voice, business chat, broadcast meeting, Skype for Business broadcast meeting, and the video interrupt server, and on-premises user. On the right hand, you see the online user over here. And here you have the hybrid version. So here you have an online user that's using on-premises features, and here you have on-premises users that use online features. So I'm not sure if you can see it properly. It will, of course, be in the handout. The first one, dial-in conferencing, Ståle talked about that already. I think for now you have to be online, and it will become available for on-premise users as well, so in a hybrid setup. Enterprise voice, that's something I'm going to cover right now. And precision chats is only available on-premises. I'm not sure if you're sad about that, but that's how it is. Broadcast meeting is something that's being maintained in Azure, so that means that you have to have a cloud connectivity there, and it could be when you are fully in Office 365 or also for hybrid users. It can be really, really interesting. If you are interested in broadcast meeting, then I would suggest that you take a look at the Channel 9 video of the Office Mechanics. They have a really nice Skype broadcast meeting introduction video. Really nice. And the VO Interop server, that's a new server on Skype for Business. That's only in an on-premises role, and it basically allows you to connect some Cisco video terminals through Call Manager to the Skype for Business server. But it's, to be honest, very limited in functionality, but it's there. It's only an on-premises feature, but if you have a hybrid setup, then your online users can also use that on-premises version. So cloud PCN conferencing, I'm going to be quick about that. User has to be homed online for now. Microsoft is the new provider there. There used to be, I think, three third-party providers that you could choose from. And Microsoft is now basically competing with them. If you look at the documentation that Microsoft is providing, they have a long list of why you should choose them and not the other third-party providers. So yeah, it's not very subtle. So that, enterprise voice and the cloud. Enterprise voice and the cloud comes in two main versions, the cloud PBX with PSTN calling, that Stoller talked about, and that is US only for now. Microsoft has announced the UK and multiple countries to follow, but Microsoft has not announced anything publicly yet for that. And the other one is cloud PBX with on-premises PSTN connectivity. The cloud PBX, I really like this diagram. Most of these diagrams I've copied from the documentation, and I will provide the links to the documentation for you as well. But the Microsoft Cloud can be, well, cloud only. So if you use Microsoft calling services, the PSTN calling services, then you're just working online. If you do have some on-premises components, that could be a full-blown Link or Skype for Business pool, or the new Cloud Connector Edition, and that allows you to use your on-premises PSTN gateway, SIP trunks, or what you might have to connect to the PSTN. So this is also known as hosted voice, the cloud PBX with PSTN calling. If you need to some help with decision making to see whether the on-premises or hybrid solution is best for you, Microsoft has created a really nice solutions poster for that. It's available both as a PDF and a VCO. So I will make sure that you get that in the handout. There's a link to that. But it basically walks through all the features that are available in the different solutions. So, but I think Stoller covered most of them. If you need to integrate, for instance, with your contact center solution, well, then on-premises is the way to go. If you want to be as much in the clouds as you can, well, then PSTN calling or maybe hybrid is a solution for you. It's a really helpful poster there. So let's go to hybrid voice. Hybrid voice uses on-premises telephony components, and you can use the same components that you can for any Skype for Business pool. So if you have a qualified gateway, a SIP trunk, session board controller, things like that, they all will work. We used to have a hybrid in the early days of Link 2013, but Microsoft, It wasn't a success, let's leave it at that, but it's back now. New is the Cloud Connector Edition. If you have an on-premises pool, what you see here is the on-premises users, the existing PBX or gateway that you may have with the PSTN connectivity, and your Skype for Business server. And on the right-hand side, you have your Skype for Business online environment. The Cloud Connector is basically a scaled-down version of that, and I'll dive into the details in a moment. Let's first start with planning. Maybe you've seen this diagram before. So the first scenario that we will talk about is the hybrid scenario with an already existing Skype for Business or Link pool in place. I think that will happen for a lot of customers. As with any hybrid setup, you need to start with your directory. So it doesn't matter whether you want to deploy hybrid for, let's say, Exchange Online and Skype for Business on-premises, or a mix of Skype for Business on-premises and Skype Online users. The basics are all the same. You need to ensure that you can use the same account to log into both environments. Was that ever set up hybrid in Office 365? Couple of you, okay. Is it easy, hard to do? It depends. It's getting easier, I think, to do. Microsoft is providing a lot of wizards for that, for the basic scenarios at least. So, but let's walk through the basic steps. So if you start with your on-premises environment, here you can see the Skype for Business pool with the backend server, the frontend servers, mediation servers for telephony. Your Edge servers in your DMZ that can allow you to connect to the internet. Well, Office 365 is approachable over the internet, so that's why we need to have an Edge over there. You already have your own internal Active Directory with your users. If you apply for Skype for Business Online or Exchange Online, Microsoft will actually create a little bit of an AD for you. They used to do that in Office 365, but that's now hosted in Azure AD. And of course, it doesn't make sense to have two accounts, right? So one account to log into Exchange Online and one account to log into Skype for Business on-premises. So that's why they have DearSync. Now it's called Azure AD Connect. And that allows you to basically synchronize some objects from your on-premises AD with your Azure AD over there. And that allows, one of the things that it will synchronize for you is your user account. So that allows you to use the same user account to log on to both environments. The next thing is that you probably want to use the same password as well for both environments. So you can now, well, since a couple of years, allow for password synchronization. That basically synchronizes the hash value of your password. So that you can, in that way, you can use the same combination of username and password in both environments. And the next step would be single sign-on. So log on once and not log on twice. And if you want to use that, then you need to deploy ADFS, Active Directory Federation Services. That's the same for all hybrid scenarios, nothing different for Skype for Business. Something that Stolle already talked about is express routes, and Tommy will have more details about that later on. Highly recommended. If you talk about telephony, then quality of service is, I think, really important to consider. And that is something that you can actually have with express route, but that would be interesting to do. If you are deploying the hybrid version with an on-premises Skype for Business pool, then you need to have your DNS records, your public DNS records, point to your on-premises environment. So basically, users will log on to the on-premises environment, if their account has been moved to Office 365, they will get redirected. So it's really straightforward. Who has ever seen the bandwidth calculator before? Couple of you have, yeah. So it's a free tool that Microsoft has. It can be useful, but not always. It can be a bit overcomplicated, to be honest. But they have released a new version that's really interesting. I think it was released in December. The new version also includes Skype, and that includes the new audio codec Silk that they have obtained with Skype. And it now also allows for hybrid scenarios. So it will allow you to calculate the bandwidth that you need to Office 365. And that can be interesting for all kinds of scenarios. I work a lot with hosting providers, and they can also adopt this tool to calculate the bandwidth that you need to their hosting environment. So it's a free tool by Microsoft. Then the deployment itself. So it doesn't matter whether you want to use the hybrid voice setup with a full blown pool or just the cloud connector. In both scenarios, you need to set up Skype for Business online, and you need to add a domain and verify ownership. So when you start with an Office 365 environment, you get that on Microsoft.com account or domain. That's not something you want to use for your hybrid setup. So that's why you need to add your domain and verify ownership. It's very straightforward to do. They use wizards for that even, so. So if you do want to deploy the hybrid version with a full-blown Skype pool, you want to set up your AD synchronization that I just talked about. And then Probably also ADFS, and then it's up to the hybrid deployment. So I'm going to skip a couple of slides here because Stoll already talked about. So are you familiar with adding a domain to Office 365? It's really straightforward in the portal. You go to domains, add domain, and then you need to prove that you own that domain by adding a text record to DNS. And it should be really straightforward to do. So the next step is to set up the hybrid version. It depends on the whether you use the new or the old interface of the admin portal, but just to give you an idea of the steps that you need to walk through, you need to prepare for directory synchronization. You need to verify the domains that we just did. Then you need to activate active directory synchronization. So if you are going to synchronize the AD, you need to enable that on two sides, on the online side and on on-premises side of things. And then we have a couple of other steps that you need to walk through. One really nice tool is the IDFix tool, or as you probably know, IDFix in Belgium. It's a really, really cool tool to use. It will validate any all the fields that are going to get replicated before you start the AD synchronization, and it will help you to fix issues. So I'm just going to pretend that I just installed the Azure AD Connect tool. So that's everything I need for the AD side of things. And then it's up to Skype for Business. So we have had a hybrid for a long time already in Link and Skype for Business, but now they've made it really easy to enable it. Who has seen this before? The Skype for Business control panel? Yeah, maybe you know the Link control panel. It looks very similar, only the main difference is its color scheme. So it's gray and yellow instead of white and blue. But that's actually the one thing that is different there is this section over here where it allows you to connect to Office 365. And that's really helpful. You just enter your accounts over there, and then you're now signed into Office 365 as a as me in this case. And then it will help you through the steps, take you through the steps for enabling hybrid voice or hybrid setup. Set up hybrids. Let's click on that. And then it will show you this overview over here. It says, okay, you need to have Office 365 account, have that. You need to have AD synchronization. You need to have user authentication in place. Maybe you want to think about an audio conferencing provider. And if you know what you want, then it's time to hit next. And let's do that. So, who has seen this before? So, no, that's good. It's good to see something new, right? So it's so what it does now, it will validate your Skype for Business environment to check to see if you're ready for a hybrid. Well, apparently I'm not. It says, first thing, federation is not enabled on your Edge server. As you may know, you can enable federation on the system level, on your Access Edge server, and also per user. So the it says federation is enabled over here. That means that it is enabled for users, but not on the system level. So it's not going to work at all. Federation with Office 365 is not configured. So that means the hosting provider that you need to add to your Edge environment, Edge configuration, sorry. And we also need to add a shared SIP address space. So that allows you to use the same SIP domain, both on premises and online. So if you hit next, then this is going to happen. So let's repeat. So this is, and it's real time, right? This is how quick it is. So basically what it does, it will run some PowerShell scripts in the background and it will enable it for you. So that's it. That's how easy it is. So nowadays you can set up a hybrid Skype for Business even without PowerShell. It used to be pretty complicated a couple of years ago, but well, for some people, it used to be pretty complicated. So, how can you manage this environment? Sorry, too much words in here, but if you are going to move users to online, then the recommended approaches to enable users for enterprise voice in the while they're still in the on-premises environment, assign a voice routing policy, then synchronize the users with your DSync or AD Azure AD Connects, assign them licenses in Office 365, and then move the users to the Skype for Business online. Management, well, we have the Skype for Business control panel. We of course also have the Skype for Business online admin center, but that's really limited, I have to say. And there's always PowerShell that you can use to manage everything with, still there. So let's have a look at Bob. Bob is now still on premises and we want to move him online. Again, something that you used to do with PowerShell, but it's now really straightforward. You can just say, yes, I want to move him. And then he gets moved over to the online environment. And of course, you can also select multiple users at once. One thing I want to point out, not directly related to this session, but who is familiar with the call quality dashboard? We've seen that. Yeah, so it's one, yeah, two people, I think. It's really interesting. It's now, if you go to the admin center in Office 365, go to the tools sections for your Skype for Business portal, then you now also have the call quality dashboard. It's new for Skype for Business. It was originally an on-premises tool. It basically copies the data from your monitoring database over to a dedicated archiving database, and it allows you to give a good insight in the problem areas in your environment. It allows you to zoom in to the, is it fixed or is it Wi-Fi? Is it internal, is it external? Is it managed, is it unmanaged? It allows you to dial into the problem areas. It's really interesting to use for the helicopter view. Monitoring service great for troubleshooting and other kind of things, but it can be a bit too complicated to report to your management. So that's really interesting to look at.
Ask a question?
Sure.
Do you know how to get out of the database the feedback text?
Yeah. I actually have something for that.
Yeah.
No. You need to customize it. Yeah.
Even then, you need to write yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's version one, right?
Yeah.
So that's yeah. I've seen a couple of things for what they're going to release. It looks really nice. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's going to get improved, absolutely. Yeah. And the nice thing is they are using it for Office 365 as well, so that also benefits us for on-premises deployments, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing to consider when you use the Office 65 version is that you are always a remote user for Office 65, so it cannot differentiate between internal users and external users. But they allow you to upload your network configuration in a spreadsheet, so if it knows that if you come from that subnet, then it's an internal connection, and otherwise it's an external connection. So, but the basics are still there. Really nice. All right, so let's go to the Cloud Connector. The Cloud Connector is new, and it just was released, I think, last week or something. It's really, really new. And it allows you to use an existing PBX or gateway or session border controller or SIP trunk without any pull at all. So in its current state, it does not allow you to have a pool at all. That may change, but for right now it's for greenfield deployment or for locations where you have no Skype for Business pool at all, or not anymore. The components that are there consist of a domain controller. This domain controller is only for the Cloud Connector edition itself. A mediation server that handles signaling and media, as always with Link and Skype for Business, and the central management store, CMS, where the configuration is stored. And because we need to connect to Office 65, it also has the Edge role in place. It comes in a couple of versions. There is a single instance version. That's what I'm going to demo, well, in the walkthrough. It's Microsoft says it's for evaluation purposes, but it works just fine for a lab environment. no high availability here, and that's probably something you do want to have if you want to deploy your production telephony on it. But maybe for smaller companies it will work. The multiple PSTN, multiple instances of the cloud connector with the same PSTN site. So this term PSTN site basically means a location where you have a local PSTN breakout. And if you want to go all the way, you can actually have up to 4 instances of the cloud connector. And of course, you can also have multiple sites there. So different scenarios are there. The media flow here is handled through Office 365. So what you can see here, this is inbound. Let's see if it helps a little bit. So the Dave, the user here, is receiving inbound call, and the black line is SIP traffic. The blue line is media traffic over there. What you can see is that the media, I think this is actually this is wrong. It's outbound. Sorry. I'm going to change that in the final version. So this is outbound. So what you can see here is that signaling goes through your online servers. So call handling is being managed by Office 365. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you look at things. So that means that if you lose your connection with Office 365, there's nothing, no telephony left. So the cloud connector is not an SBA, not a survivor branch appliance or something like that. It really depends on connectivity with Office 365. And it can be good or not, depends. So the media does stay local. So signaling, SIP traffic throws to your edge server to the online environment and back to control the gateway over there. But the media will stay local, media bypass. This is outbound, while inbound is the other way around. So how do you deploy a single instance version? Well, first you need to look at a couple of planning things here. So you need to decide on the topology. I decided on the single instance version. You need to look at your DNS records. You need to get a certificate, a public certificate, and then you need to allow all the connectivity. In my demo environment, I am using these domain names over here. So again, the mediation server, domain controller, the edge role, and the CMS. Like always, you need to have DNS records and IP addresses for that. The Microsoft recommends that you use .local as the domain name for your cloud connector itself. So that's what I've done here as well. Of course, Edge has both internal records and external records. The internal record is Edge server, .local. And then I have a SIP entry, and you are not allowed to use SIP itself. So SIP.UCDeepDive.NL, in my case, will have to point to Office 65, right? In a hybrid setup. So that's why we have another entry for the edge server over here. The record for media relay. And then, of course, you need to have a gateway in place. And that usually will be a .local. So that's what you need to have. Actually, the hybrid setup usually has the same steps. So you need to add the domain to Office 365 like you had with the hybrid setup. And you also need to configure the DNS records to point to Office 365. So SIP points to Office 65, not to your cloud connector. And also you're not allowed to use the dot on Microsoft.com domain there that you get. So let's have a look at hardware requirements. There's a regular version and a smaller version, 50 concurrent calls, and 500 concurrent calls. I think for 50 concurrent calls, actually pretty good for a lot of setups. Well, this is the recommended hardware configuration. I should have used larger letters maybe, but it's not too bad. It's a recommendation, so it's not mandatory, but it makes sense to stick to the recommendation, I think. Actually, when you start deploying the Cloud Connector, we're going to use PowerShell for that in a moment with install CC, that stands for Cloud Connector Instance. And then you can use the hardware type switch, and they have three versions there. You can use minimum, normal, or maximum. And if you have less than 50 gigs of memory in your virtual appliance to be, then you need to use the switch minimum, otherwise the setup will fail. So that's something to keep in mind. Actually, there's a bug right now in that switch. It should allow you to deploy starting with 16 gigs of memory, but it requires you to have 24 right now. But you can actually tweak that a little bit in the files. Firewall recommendations, of course. You need to have a firewall in place when you have an Edge server. I'm not going to walk through all the settings here. You can use it for your reference. Difference here is that in contrary to a normal Edge server, clients do not connect directly to the Edge external Edge components. So it's a little bit less than with a normal Edge server deployment. So let's start with the deployment itself. Microsoft has a deployment checklist that you can use and probably want to use. It's a Word document, and it looks like this. So let's see. So it's basically an inventory list that you can use to get all the names in place that you want to have, the domain names, the Cloud Connector IP addresses. So all the things that you need to provide during the setup are in this white paper. Very useful to have. And it's basically similar with Skype for Business on-premise as well, right? You need to plan before you deploy. So let's start with the installation itself. You start by downloading and running the Cloud Connector Edition installation. Always be sure that you have the latest version. And then if you follow the deployment guides, then they will ask you to check to see if you have all the PowerShell commands in place by using catc commands. You can see that we have a lot of CC related PowerShell commands here. So that seems to be okay. We need two directories to work with, the site directory where you store your virtual hard drives and the downloaded Skype for Business bits, and the appliance directory that's used as a working directory. And that appliance directory should not be changed after deployment. So be careful with assigning drive letters and things like that. It can be changed with setcs appliance directory, but not after you have deployed the Cloud Connector. Then certificates. I already mentioned that you need to have a public certificate for the external Edge component. The SIP should not be used as a common name, but as a SEN entry. And in my example, I was using AP as an access proxy or access point the subject name in my certificate. Then you need to export the certificate with the private key. And then with PowerShell, you need to point to that certificate. So with setcc external certificate file path, you need to point to that certificate you just exported with the private key. Always be aware of the password, right, that you need to have to get access to that private key again. And then you start download. So start CC download will download the Skype for Business media. You can validate that by using get CC download progress. And then you need to create two switches in Hyper-V. So that would be your, I just followed the documentation here, but you can use any names you want as long as you remember what you did. So the Skype for Business Cloud Connector Internet and Corpnet switch in this example, you need to create them manually, or if you want to, you can use PowerShell for that, but you need to take care of that yourself. And then we have an ini file that's going to be used during the deployment. The ini file basically has all the information that you just saw in the Word document. So all the IP addresses that you want to use, or the FQDNs that you want to use, it's really easy to skip some of the entries there. So that's why I would advise you to double check it. It's maybe obvious, but it's really helpful to take a look at it again. So then you need to save that as a cloudconnector.ini file. And then you start with export ISO to VHDX PowerShell commandlet. You need to provide the ISO for Windows 2012 yourself, and it makes sense to use the R2 with updates ISO for that. This will save you a lot of time downloading all the updates later. You need to provide it yourself, then it will actually create a temporal virtual machine, and then it will use sysprep to create a base virtual disk. If you do not have internet connectivity, then this process will fail, and it will prompt you to manually run Windows Update. So it makes sense to have that in place before you start. Actually, in the ini file, they will ask you for your default gateway to get to the internet. So if you run convert CC ISO to VHDX, you can see it running over here. It was running for a while already. Oh no, not too bad actually, 7 minutes. But it will take some time, this process. And so if you take a peek at the Hyper-V manager, you can actually see this temporary virtual machine being created, but it will be deleted later on. It's only used to create the base image. It will then install all the Windows 2012 R2 updates. So that's going to take a while. But you have to do nothing at all, just watch at the screen, yeah, that's easy. And then the installation process itself, you need to ensure that your execution policy is remote signed, maybe there already. And then we have the install CC instance commandlet that will install all the virtual machines for you. I like to use the show step only first, to walk you through the steps to see if you actually have the certificate in place, if all your credentials are valid. It will prompt you for passwords. So you need to have passwords for your domain account, for your certificate, for all the other things that you need access to. So something to write down, I think. And then if you need to reconfigure your environment, you need to rerun install. So uninstall and then install again. Install CC instance going to take a while because those four virtual machines will get created. It's a really clever PowerShell happening in the background. It will validate your configuration file, and it will provide you output in PowerShell when it's done. But this is going to take a while. And then you have your hybrid setup in place. Of course, you need to ensure that you did this, but we talked about it earlier. Then you want to set up your users, like Stoller talked about, you need to assign licenses there, and you can use this PowerShell script that they've provided to verify that your users are actually there. One thing that can be a little bit strange is that with the voice policies, if you have a hybrid setup, there is a combination of two voice policies. One is where we handle the features that are enabled for a user, and that is actually handled online by Microsoft. It's not something that we can control. And the PCN usages that are also in your voice policy, but where you can configure who can connect where, is something that we take care of in our own on-premises voice policy. No, you can actually, so it's the recommended way of doing that, but you can actually use a remote PowerShell for that as well. Yeah. Yeah, that's not too bad, actually. So. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So basically what you're doing is you're creating a virtual appliance. So you need to have an Hyper-V server with Windows 2012 on it. And then you need to run the script from there. So the four machines that I talked about earlier are created on that Hyper-V host.
Looks like they all have
something like preparing for nano server.
Maybe. Yeah, you never know. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, so is it supported for VMware? No, it's Hyper-V only. Maybe that will change, but right now it's a fully scripted Hyper-V installation, basically what they're doing. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, you need to assign the networks to that, so you need to ensure that they are actually in the DMZ. That's up to you. Yeah, well, actually, you can use for some steps, you can use the administrative tools, but I don't think that's fully supported to do that. So, yeah, it is pretty limited, but it's basically only to control the PSTN gateway that you have in place. So that you have no users logging onto that environment. So again, you are really depending on the connection to Office 365 there. Any other questions? No. Exactly. Exactly. So it could be, let's have a look at that poster. So this is the planning guide that I talked about. Let's zoom in a little bit. Yeah. So it basically says, do you have a unique functionality? No. Then up to the next step, yes. Do you need to stay on premises? And that could be the integration with your third part solution there or your own solution. Absolutely. So then you need to have your normal central site. Let's zoom in a little bit more. So, and that could be the best solution for you. Of course, they want you to investigate whether you can replace it with Skype for Business server. The next step would be Cloud PBX with PSTN calling. Is it available in your region? Well, probably not. So we need to move on to the next step. And that's where they talk about hybrid scenarios. So both the server deployment and the cloud connector edition. So if you have a normal hybrid setup with this full-blown Skype for Business pool, that still allows you to connect your third-party solution to that. So if you want to go for hybrid, but have that requirement, then the hybrid solution will be for you and not the cloud connector. So that's, there's no pool to connect to, basically. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. It's a single site, multiple instances. You can have up to four. Yeah. Yeah. So up to four. That should be enough. Yeah. But if you look at the hardware requirements. You can see that they, for the normal version, they allow you for 500 concurrent calls. I think that for most customers, that's plenty, to be honest. Yeah, it's amazing Microsoft technology. Yeah. Any other questions about this? No? So maybe we can have a quick look at the call quality dashboard then. I think we have time for that. So what I have here is I'm going to show you the online version. So this is my my admin center for Office 65, and this is the old interface. Under admin, I've selected Skype for Business, and that gives me the Skype for Business interview. So, and if you look at the bottom over here, there you have tools. And if you click on tools, then you can see a couple of tools there. And one on the bottom again is the core quality dashboard. And this is how it looks like. So it will provide you with an overview with the server client traffic, client traffic, so peer-to-peer traffic. And it will also, if you do have a voice from Microsoft, give you insight in the SLA for that. If you you can see the upload now option over here, where you can upload the building data that I talked about, so they know what subnets are local for you. And here you can see the monthly trends, so how many clients have been connected to this environment, how many issues did we have. So in purple, that's not good in this case, the trends per day, per month, etc. So not really nice overview what's going on. Then the server client gives you basically similar setup. It will differentiate like the on-premises version with wired and wireless. So you can, let's hope it loads. So you can see what the problem areas are in your deployment. Well, let's pretend it worked. So that's, not sure. It's probably going to be a bit more helpful. I think I made a mistake by clicking inside, because I do not have any internal users. They are all remote. I think Microsoft is having issue with their SQL database over there. Yeah, that's not me. No. So, but it can be really, really nice to have that view. I really love the monitoring database, the quality of experience that you have, but we do not have access to that in the online environment. So if you are using Skype for Business online, whether with the cloud connector or fully online, you need to, I think, some insight in what's going on. So I talked about the Event Zero technology that's also available there, really interesting. But call quality dashboard is also something that's really useful.
Question.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
How about
yeah, that's no problem.
Is it possible?
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to add them
to the ini file. Yeah, and of course to the certificate. Yeah, absolutely. So let's have a look at that ini file that I talked about earlier. Maybe I can. Can see it like it's visible or yeah. So here you can see the domains of SIP URIs used by company users. So that's absolutely possible to enter more than one domain there. And of course you need to include that in your certificate. Yeah. Maybe something else to mention. You can use multiple sites here as well. And you need to provide the switch names. So you, like I talked about, you need to manually create the Hyper-V switches. One that points to your internal network and one that points to your internet, like with any Edge deployment. The default gateways in your CorpNet. And that is something that's actually really important for that, for updating your Windows server, the base image. So if you do not have the appropriate gateway in place, you need to manually update it later on. And also you need to be sure that those virtual switches are external switches, so they actually can connect to the internet. Small things, but really important. So the ini file, I think it's not really complicated, but easy to miss steps in the ini file. One thing that I keep forgetting is the PSTN gateway, because you tend to focus on all the link or Skype for Business related entries. But if you scroll all the way down, you have the gateway FQDN. So you need to make sure that you enter the appropriate gateway there with the IP address. And don't forget the port and to choose whether you want to use TCP or TLS. It's a lot easier to do that right in the first run instead of fixing it later on. You can also have multiple gateways. So I think they have two entries by default, but you can actually add more gateways as well in the ini file yourself if you have, want to have that for failover scenarios. Different from what? From the E164 numbers, you mean? Yeah, you need to handle that on the gateway. Yeah, if you have ICN gateway, for instance, and you need to have national formats, you would handle that on the gateway in that case. Yeah. If you keep the same IP address, and you're good. Yeah. You could add a second gateway, right? You could do that. Or maybe you would want to use a DNS entry instead of an IP address. What actually happens is that the topology, so the whole Sky for Business deployment is automated. So everything that you normally do, so set up your servers, you can actually see it in PowerShell happening. So setting up your servers, creating your first topology by using this information over here. So I have not found a way to manipulate the topology directly. Maybe that will come later. But for now, you need to, if you make any changes in the ini file, you need to rerun the installation. But it's really easy to do. So yeah, but you do not have the normal tools available like you have for an on-premises environment. But so it's easier to think, yeah, to try to prevent that from happening. But yes, but it's possible. So you can change it later on. Yeah, you have PowerShell, but it's uninstall, install. There are PowerShell commands for updating the software. And
is it a different module?
Yeah. So basically, when you run the wizard, the Cloud Connector wizard, then the PowerShell commands get added. Yeah, you can actually see that in the module folder on your C drive, probably. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can choose that. So you can.
I saw in the ini file it's automatic.
Yeah, that's the default setting. No, probably not. So that's I don't think you get that many updates for Windows, right? So that's
that's a joke, right?
Yeah. So you can just control it. You can, so just don't forget the password that you entered during the setup procedure, and you can just log in either through RDP or directly from the Hyper-V console and change the update settings to your liking. Yeah, it's just a Windows server. Yeah, it's not a core. No, it's a full-blown Windows. No. Yeah. Not to my knowledge. You can, there's nothing, no, you need to provide the data or standard edition server for the ISO. So you cannot use a core for that. No. So just to answer the question a bit more in detail about PowerShell. Yeah.
It would reduce the requirement.
Yeah, of course. Maybe nano server would be really interesting for that, but right now, no. Basically, it runs adapted version of Sky for Business. So the bits that they install are just the Sky for Business bits. So it's not different. The only thing that's different is it's not a normal pool in our, from our perspective. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah, I don't think they have Skype updates anymore through Windows updates. So you need to deploy. I think they just changed that. I think a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
exactly. But you need to. I don't think they will provide them anymore through Microsoft Update. And that's a good thing because you do not need to forget the install CS database step when you patch your server. Exactly. Steps. Yeah. In the knowledge base article, you mean?
Yeah.
But that's still work in progress, right? So that's yes, you still need to do that. Yeah, yeah. And read the knowledge base articles as well. Yeah. The only thing that has changed considerably in Skype for Business, that after the whole process of deploying the patch, that starts with checking to see if all your front-end servers are in sync, that's now being handled through one PowerShell commandlet. So, but the steps are actually basically still the same. Yeah, that's one. Yeah, exactly. And these are the PowerShell commandlets again for the Cloud Connector edition. Okay, well, if you have any more questions, I will be available here after the session. I think it's lunchtime. So thank you for your attention.